Jesus' name, we love you so much. We honor you. And we're just taking a moment to align our hearts with yours. We love you. We honor you with our whole hearts, our attention. We honor your word, your scripture. And we honor the people you've called us to love. We thank you so much for all you're doing in our life and our church. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, you know, I love series. I'm doing a series on honor because I said, hey, Lord, what do you want me to preach on? And I heard it. And I'm normally like, I see things. And I was like, okay, Lord, we're preaching on honor. So this is part one, and it's called Something to Stand On. Something to Stand On. I got tons of scriptures, so feel free to write them down. You probably won't have time to go to all the places we're going to talk about here. So when I say the word honor, who comes to mind when you think of the word honor? Take a moment just to think about it. Who do you honor? Is it a particular person? Was it a military hero? Someone in the Sports Hall of Fame? Someone that maybe laid their life down for you and your life is forever changed because of it? Obviously, Jesus. We recently went out to dinner with some missionaries, and they take short-term missions trips, and they were actually saying they had the honor of meeting Mother Teresa. And, you know, Mother Teresa passed away, I think, like in the late 90s, and she's still super famous. Anybody ever raise your hand if you've heard of Mother Teresa. Okay, yes, all right. So, not very many people that haven't. She greatly impacted the world because of her approach to honor people that had nothing. Absolutely. I thought about it, and I did a little research on her, and she started the Missionaries of Charity, which grew to 133 countries. And it managed homes for poor people, marginalized people, disenfranchised people, people that were thrown out in the streets that had no place to go, people that were dying, people that had AIDS and HIV, and how many people remember when that just came to light? And that was, when you talk about leprosy, people were pushed out in fear. Their families wouldn't have anything to do with them. Took care of those with leprosy, just ran orphanages, schools. There wasn't anything. She found people that had nothing and said, I will give you honor. Because of that, the world changed. And the members of their charity took a vow to wholeheartedly provide free service to the poorest of the poor. She received many honors in her lifetime and even after she passed. First one was in 1962, the Ramon Magistre Peace Prize was given her. In 1979, the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to her. And long after her death, many people that are even outside the Christian faith look up to her, because she represented Jesus really, really well. In 2016, she was actually sainted by the Catholic Church, and she was made the patron saint of the World Children's, of World Youth Day and the Missionaries of Charity. So why did her life stand out so much? She looked a lot like Jesus. I know Denise and her, I go, Denise, you'll love this message. Could you do this? I've seen you honor. Homeless, people that have nothing. When you don't have much in your pocket and you still give the little that you had. This was Mother Teresa. And I started thinking about people in this church that don't have a lot. But the little they do have, they're quick to give and honor people that have next to nothing or less than nothing. I thought about Miss Gerald, and I'm going to honor you. If you've ever, how many people raise your hand if you've had the honor to serve someone that honors people, Miss Gerald? You know, it's hard when you're struggling and you don't have much. And there's a shame that comes with it when you can't provide for your family. And when you get around Gerald, you never feel that. You feel empowered, loved, honored. It's a joy. It's just bananas. There's so much joy when you serve beside her. And she honors people that have nothing. And they don't feel like that when they leave because they get Jesus and more brownies than you can ever think of. So my message today, I want you to think about who we should give honor to. And the Bible teaches a lot about honor. And in my series, I had to tear out literally pages of notes And we're going to dive into some of the more obvious ones, but I want to talk about some things that sometimes slip through the cracks in churches and communities. You know, the Bible obviously says that we're supposed to honor God. And we're going to talk about that in worship and finances and all these things. And the Bible also talks a lot about honoring authorities, honoring leaders, people that pour into your life, whether it's ministry directors, grow group leaders, teachers, pastors, people in your community. Romans 13, 7 through 8 says this: give to everyone what you owe them, what is due them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. Like, people like to cross that out. You know, people that tear out pages of the Bible they don't like. It's in there, okay? Pay your taxes. It says, give respect and honor to those who are in authority. And it says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So this is something I want to dive into right now and in my series. You know, there are some people that are a lot easier to love and honor than others. True, right? And the Bible says that we're supposed to honor everyone. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. Everybody say, all people. Love the brotherhood. That's the church. Fear God, honor the king. We're going to talk about all of those. Honor all people. Whether you respect them or not, whether they have any honor or not, whether you agree with their lifestyle or not, we are to honor all people. Honor all people, even if they didn't vote the way you voted. That means don't trash them online. I'm not saying vote the way they voted. I'm just saying, like, come on, don't be nasty. Treat people with dignity and honor that are different than you, and they might actually listen to you. And the world might transform if we start doing life with people that are different than us and honor them the way Jesus did. So we are taught in the Word to honor all people despite their actions or their reputation. So what happens when we show honor to those who don't have any honor at all, who haven't earned it yet, maybe don't even deserve it? What happens when we give honor to people that don't have any? We give them something to stand on, and they rise. So Jesus was the example of how to honor those who had none, right? And when you go through the Bible, I ask you to join me in the book of Luke. I love the book of Luke. It is the most detailed of all the Gospels. It's the longest. And look who Jesus honored and how he ministered. If you want to see fruit to your ministry, if you want to see fruitfulness to your prayers, honor people. And then ask to pray for them. So I want to say this. A lot of times we have a hard time honoring other people because we ourselves feel dishonored. Right? You ever been around someone that's incredibly disrespectful? Find out how they were raised. Many times they're raised in a home, they were put down constantly. Said, you're never enough, yelled at, screamed at, hit. They were never honored in their life, so they dishonor everyone else around them. It's the peak of what bullying, right? People put down other people to feel good about themselves. Well, you find out what's going on at home. They're normally pushed around and so forth. So I want to say this. The first and foremost thing that you're going to have to get to a place of to be able to honor people that are disrespectful or dishonoring towards you, or maybe just people you don't respect the way they live their lifestyle and so forth, is you're going to have to get really filled with the Holy Spirit. This is one of those messages that every day you're going to have to look at the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Fill me up with your love, your joy, your peace, your honor, so I can then overflow love, joy, peace, and honor to the people around me. And how many people know, how many people have those coworkers that it is really hard to honor and respect? When they're cheating the system and, you know, saying nasty things about you, it's pretty rough out there. Jesus was actually drawn to people who had no honor whatsoever, when you read it, the book of Luke. And he went way out of his way into incredibly awkward and frowned upon social situations to minister honor and freedom and healing to people. People that society and religious people looked down on and pushed out and said, hey, you can't come to my church. Oh, don't sit with me. You know, we have an outreach for you, but, you know, you smell a little bit. Don't sit in my row. These are the people that Jesus went, hey, come sit right next to me. Never felt like charity when you were with Jesus. You just felt like you were an old friend. Jesus gave honor to those who didn't earn it or deserve it, whose lives were the very opposite of it, and we need to learn to do the same. One thing you're going to notice when you start looking at the lives, especially in the Bible, and even people around you that maybe are not showing honor or the society doesn't honor them, is many of them had honor stolen from them. We're going to look at this at some of the people in the Bible here. Something was taken from them, maybe even at a young age, and so they lived their lifestyle very differently in shame and guilt and sin because honor was stolen from them. And when we restore that honor and love them the way Jesus loved, they rise up and their life is transformed and they start looking just like Jesus. But we're a part of that process. So if you guys go to Luke chapter 5, 27 through 32, Contemporary English Bible says this: Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at a kiosk for collecting taxes. So many of you know this, but tax collectors were famous cheaters who stole money back in the day. They were crooks. And in the Roman Empire system, I looked this up, what happened was Levi would go ahead and the people in his jurisdiction, he would pay their taxes for them, all right? And then he would go to them and say, okay, now you owe me, right? Because I paid your taxes for you. So he would go then to people to reimburse himself. Now that sounds like, you know, not that bad of a business, except the problem was this, is no tax collectors were known and expected to not just skim a little off the top, but to overcharge people by a ton. So right now in Jewish history, they're under the Roman rule and incredibly oppressed, have very little, and a lot is taken through taxes. They're barely getting by. How many people have been through a season, or maybe you're in a season, where when people take extra, you can really feel it? So Matthew was hated. He was kind of someone that would betray his own people, you know, always put himself first. The other people around them were barely scraping by, and he's charging them a ton of money and living in a really nice house and going on fancy vacations on the backs of the oppressed. And the Roman soldiers really didn't care. All they cared is they were getting their money. So they actually would defend and protect the crooked tax collector. He was a corrupt government official. He had the most despised job in town and was the most hated. So he was kind of worse than the IRS. He was an absolute crook of crooks. He was a rat. He was a traitor. And he hiked up the taxes and took a big cut and lined his pockets on the backs of suffering people. So let's go ahead to verse, let's see, where are we at here? My notes. Okay, Luke chapter 5, 27 through 32. We're going to pick up here at 27. Okay, Jesus said to him, so he went up to Levi, who's, you know, in the middle of his crooked business, cheating people. He says, follow me and be my disciple. And Levi immediately got up and left everything behind and followed him. Then Levi threw a great banquet for Jesus in his home as the guest of honor. A large number of tax collectors and others sat down to eat with them. So Jesus honored a corrupt person, a crook, someone that was dishonorable and nasty to the people around him. Jesus honored him, and what did he do? He went back and honored Jesus. Watch this pattern. But here's the religious leader's response. But the Pharisees, which were religious leaders of the day that did believe in the supernatural, unlike the Sadducees, but they kind of ruled the Jewish people. It says, but the Sadducees and their teachers and religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. This is what the New Living Translation says. It says, why do you eat and drink with such scum, these tax collectors and sinners? So it's very interesting. What does religious hypocrisy like to do? They like to point fingers at other people so they themselves feel better. What do bullies do? We put down other people so we ourselves feel better, right? And it's really interesting. Religious hypocrisy loves to rub people's noses in their sin, loves to rub people's noses in their past. If you hang around people that are always bringing up your past, or ready for this, always bringing up your shortcomings. You ever get around somebody and they just, oh, remember you when you did this and that and that and blah, 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 blah. Whether it's just talking about, you know, the old you before Jesus days, or they just keep bringing up everything you've ever done wrong. So you just get around them, you're like, am I just not good enough? You're just picking me apart. What's the deal here? That's what religion, in a spirit of religion, does. Okay. makes you not feel good enough. Religion won't lower themselves to honor other people that haven't none. They wouldn't lower their reputations to go eat with sinners. And that was the big criticism. Oh, look at Jesus. He's always hanging out with, you know, the bottom of the barrel. You know, I can't believe he's hanging out with the jerks, the scumbags, the crooks, whatever he is. Jesus didn't care about someone's reputation. He didn't care about what they did wrong. He didn't care. He said, hey, you know what? I'm going to honor you with my presence, because he doesn't play favorites. And then they go back and honor him and their lives transform. For some reason, religious people don't like this, because they believe when they get around people of sinful reputations, or maybe just social lepers or whatever, it's going to tarnish their whitewash reputations. You know what whitewash is? You take a dirty wall and just slap some paint on it. People know if you have a painter in your family, you don't take a dirty wall and slap paint on it, right? Because it's going to seep through. So that's what they kept doing. I'm not going to clean up my life. I'm just going to try to look good on the outside, right? All right. But this is Jesus' response here. It says, well, why do you eat with such scum, these tax collectors and sinners, the New Living Translation says. Verse 31, Jesus answers, healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners to change their hearts and lives. So when Jesus hung out with them, he didn't leave their lives the same way. He was rubbing off on them. So they started to smell like Jesus. You ever get around someone that has a really great perfume on, and you hug them and you leave them, and you're like, oh, I smell like them, okay? So that was it. Jesus was the fragrance of God on the earth, and he's called Christians to be the same. So Jesus was, at this point, very famous. He was a famous healer, teacher among miracles. So, like, he already had a following. And it was a huge honor to be personally invited to have dinner with him. And he honored Levi, who didn't deserve it, whoever else criticized. Why are you hanging out with him? Why'd you invite him over for Thanksgiving? Why'd you invite him over dinner? Why are they sitting beside you? Why do you hang out with them in the break room? Really? And gave him a double honor by going to his house for dinner. So Jesus went way out of his way to pour out honor on people that didn't have any or didn't deserve it or were dishonorable, like Levi. Because then he gave them something to stand on. And they themselves transformed by their faith in Jesus and became honorable. Do you know what happened to Levi? So Levi goes on to change his name to Matthew. Now, it doesn't say if Jesus gave him a different name or he changed his name. How many people know sometimes when you had a really, a life that maybe was something you didn't want to dwell on or remember, sometimes people change their names. Or they get adopted and they change their name because I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things became new. So he no longer wanted to be associated with his old life as Levi. He became Matthew. I got a Matthew in the audience here. And you know what Matthew did? Matthew had a particular set of skills that made him a great tax collector. He was very detail-oriented. He was a keen observer of people. He knew what was going on in the room. That's how he knew how much money people had, right? He's like, oh, okay, I see your shoes. All right, I know what kind of car you drive. I know how big your TV is. Yeah, you know what? I can tax you a little bit more. But you know what God took with that flaw that took advantage of people? He goes, you know what? I'm going to have you write one of the Gospels about Jesus Christ. And he wrote the book of Matthew and in detail chronicled the life and story of Jesus so we could then put our faith in Jesus. Matthew, or Levi, had no honor. Jesus honored him and he rose up and stood up on that honor and was transformed into Jesus' image and became one of, not only a disciple, there were disciples that followed him, but the inner circle, the 12 apostles that started churches, and we read that book that he wrote to this day. He used to be a crook. But we don't remember him like that at all, do we? He's Matthew, the guy that wrote one of the best books in the Bible. I mean, they're all great, but incredible, right? Do you know what the word Matthew means? I looked it up. That's right, gift of God. Gift of God. How interesting when people look down at you. Don't hang out with people that rub your nose in your past all the time. Don't hang out with people that criticize you and say you're not good enough. Why? Who does God say that you are? I'm his son, I'm his daughter. Did you know that every single person in this room is a gift from God to your community, to your workplace, to your family, to your friend group, to this church? You are a gift from God. See yourself differently. Because Jesus honors you even if you don't have any. Why? Because you start to become more like him. All right, so go ahead. Let's see here. Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10, New Living Translation. We're going to talk about another crook of crooks. All right, I want you guys to picture. Now, Danny DeVito is a real person, and I'm sure he's a wonderful person, but I want you to just get a character in your mind. Like a mafia version of Danny DeVito. This like little guy, kind of like a slime ball, a snake. He plays those characters sometimes in movies. I'm sure he's a good man. He's a real person. I'm not talking bad about him. But just picture him, okay? All right? So Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. He had become very rich, okay? Chief tax collector. He was a crook of crooks. He was a scoundrel of scoundrels. He was the snake of the, he was the biggest snake in the snake pit. He was a jerk of jerks. All right, I'm trying to use like good PC words here, okay? He was kind of a terrible person. All right. All right. He was the chief sinner, the most corrupt and the most hated man, not just in your town, in the region, because he managed all the other crooks. He was like the kingpin of the mafia guys, right? Okay. So picture this slimy little dude, okay? And this is what Zacchaeus does. Now remember, Jesus has a huge following at this point. He is incredibly famous in the region. Everyone wants to be around him. Everybody wants to have lunch with him, sometimes because you get a free lunch, okay? Okay, everyone wants to have lunch with Jesus. Everyone wants to be around him because why? You get around him, you start feeling good about yourself. Hang out with people that look for your best qualities. Or how about this? If you don't have any, guess what? They'll look at you in the eyes of faith past all the dirt in your life and go, there you are, Matthew. I don't care if everybody else calls you Levi. You're a gift from God, and God's got a plan for your life and a purpose for your life. That's why everybody wanted to hang around him. He honored people. So what happened? Zacchaeus tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was just too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead. This is got a guy with money and wealth and power, and he's running ahead. He's acting like a little kid, okay? There's something about Jesus that inspires childlike faith, reckless abandonment, just undignified joy. You do ridiculous things like raise your hands during worship. Come on, guys. You might just run up to the altar and get on your knees. You might just sing really loud and proud at the top of your lungs, and you know you can't carry a tune. Why? Because Jesus saved me. There's a humility. There's already a transformation starting to rise up in Zacchaeus. Because he is seeking Jesus. And whom you seek, you will find. All right. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass by that way. He looked ridiculous. Grown man, kingpin of the mafia, in the middle of the crowd, he is scrambling up to climb a tree. He's running ahead. He's climbing up a tree. What is he, like five? No. He's the crook of crooks. He's the mafia guy. He's one of the most hated men in the region. He doesn't even care. Probably tearing up his pretty coat, you know, don't care, climb up this tree. People, if they even notice him, because probably everybody's looking at Jesus, but if they even notice him, I guarantee they're pointing and laughing. They're on their phones about to like post like the town's next meme of like Zacchaeus up in a tree. All right. Zacchaeus was rich on the outside, but miserable on the inside. And when you are that miserable and that buried in sin, you become desperate. And he goes, if I can just see Jesus. You know, the world is looking around and going, if I could just see Jesus in the church. If I could just see Jesus in that person that calls themselves a Christian, but all their posts are just ugly and nasty and tearing other Christians apart. Tearing people that vote like me down. Tearing people that look like me down. If I could just find someone that looked like Jesus, that smelled like Jesus, that honored like Jesus, maybe I would even follow him. They're looking. And Jesus saw someone looking for him. Amen? When you search for the Lord, you will find him. And he met him right where he's at. And he went way out of his way and publicly honored Zacchaeus, the crook of crooks. He talked with him with love and joy and an inclusive honor. Not just like a little pat on the head. Oh, aren't you cute? Look at you trying to worship, you know, pat you on the head. No. He's like, hey, let's hang out. You want to grab coffee? I tell you what, my wife's making meatloaf sandwiches. I had a coworker that, listen, I don't even know what was in her meatloaf. It was amazing. And I'm not a meatloaf person, but for some reason, she would bring me an extra meatloaf sandwich at work, okay? You know, maybe you just bring an extra sandwich. Hey, I was thinking of you. Sit beside me in the break room. Just sit beside me. If you sit beside them in the break room, they might just actually one day sit beside you at church, especially if you invite them over for dinner and your barbecue. All right. But everybody's watching Jesus, who inclusively honored someone. You know, it's funny, you're inviting people to church, but you don't invite them to your house. You wonder why they're not coming to church with you. Sometimes it's just, oh, look, I'm not even going to go there. Thank you, Lord. They want to do life with you before they do ministry with you. Okay. Everybody's talking and whispering and going, why is Jesus, the holy of holy guys, the coolest guy in the room, this holy prophet, why is he talking to that guy? Why is he talking to that thug? Are you serious? He's talking to him like he's been like an old friend. And I know they've never hung out before. And he wants them to hang out with his inner circle of disciples. So Zacchaeus, verse 6, it says, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement. I mean, he's already like in childlike wonder. Oh my gosh, Jesus is coming home with me. Jesus is probably telling everybody. Okay. With excitement and joy. And the people were displeased. This is interesting. It says this, he has gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner. He's gone to the house of the town's drug dealer. He's gone to the house of that guy. Really? They grumbled. This is a religious spirit. Something about honoring people that are maybe dishonorable or have no honor somehow ruffles religious hypocrites' feathers. And they start going into finger pointing, judgment, criticism, start picking people apart. Gossip starts flying. And I wonder deep down, why does it really bug them? Are they a little jealous that you honored someone when really they just wanted more honor? Why do we start picking people apart? Why don't we just celebrate? Look who is getting honored. Look who joined this particular team or ministry in the church. Isn't that incredible? Man, they're going to rise up in so much honor. Oh my gosh, their life is going to be transformed. It's going to transform everything about them. Oh, this is incredible. Instead of, oh, I can't believe they were placed as that ministry director. Really? Oh my gosh, did you see what they wear to church? Oh my gosh, did you hear what's going on in their marriage? Oh my goodness, did you hear what's on their record? I Googled it. Do you know what lists they're on? I know what they did. Why? Why does that bug you? Because someone was honored over you? Maybe we just pull the log out of our own eye and just be who you're called to be and celebrate when people are honored that don't deserve it. Because it gives them something to stand on. And they start to look and talk like Jesus. And yeah, it's a process, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. But let's honor them. Let's celebrate them. You know that song, Look What the Lord Has Done. Look what the Lord has done. I haven't sung that in like 20 years. It's all about transformation. Look what God's doing. He's in the process of transforming this person's life. Isn't it great? They're given such an amazing opportunity. And you know what? If they fall and they mess it up and they totally, you know, we're right there to catch them, not criticize them. Not the, I told you so, they weren't ready. They weren't ready to lead that. They weren't. Look what God's doing. Okay. Would you be a part of that process? Let's talk differently about people. Amen? Jesus gave honor to someone that was dishonorable, Zacchaeus. He honored him because he didn't have any honor, and then his life transformed by the power of Holy Spirit, by the power of grace. Okay, so verse 8 says, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, which is like everybody, right? I will give them back 4 times as much. Jesus honored Zacchaeus. He didn't deserve it. He had no honor. And what did Zacchaeus do? He stood up on that honor and went, I want to be honorable. And not just talk, I'm going to do it in action. And an entire community around him transformed. There is a fruitful multiplication of a transformed life if you don't give up on the process of them transforming. Be right by their side. Be their biggest cheerleader. Zacchaeus did not give all that money back because he felt bad. He didn't do it because Jesus told him so. Jesus didn't. Out of the overflow of his heart, of this incredible gratitude, of this worship life, standing before the Lord, so grateful that he honored him with his presence. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, there is an overflow and go, I just want to give. I just want to give. I want to honor other people around me. All right, verse 9, Jesus responded, salvation has come to this house today, for this man has shown himself to be the true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those that are lost. All right, so the son of Abraham, a person of faith, right? So I want to say this, Galatians 3, 6 through 9 in the New Living Translation says this. In the same way Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith, the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scripture looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. So if you have faith in God, you are right with him. And I get adopted in to the blessing of Abraham. Go back, I had to cut so much out, but go back and read Galatians chapter 3 and you get real excited that you have faith in Jesus. Because you go, not only did he save me, but all the blessings of Abraham I get to inherit. How cool is that? And he goes, he's a true son of Abraham by faith, right? All right. God gets all the glory when a dishonorable becomes honorable, when the good news of the gospel is lived out through a transformed life. All right, so Jesus went way out of his way to honor people in society that didn't have honor. Ready for this? People in society that society didn't value. He showed honor to people that were disenfranchised, that were marginalized, people that people kind of tried to push out, that people weren't proud of, that people would kind of push to the back row. Push it out in the streets. So what if we showed more honor, actually started showing honor to people with mental disabilities, to homeless? Not like, oh, here's a little pat on the head charity, but like, spend some time with them, honored them, loved them. I think it would transform our communities. That's what happened with Mother Teresa. She just took in everyone that no one honored, that everybody pushed out and says, I honor you. And it transformed how they did ministry. Jesus also honored kids. Go ahead to Luke chapter 18, verse 15. Now, you have to understand this. Now, it's easy to honor kids in today's culture, right? It's because we're a little bit more, we value kids a little bit more. But back then in that society, kids were seen as a burden. Anybody remember a previous generation where that phrase, kids were to be seen and not heard? How many, actually, don't raise your hand. If you were treated like that, that really messes with your self-esteem and how you see yourself. Probably not one to speak up because you were put down for speaking up. So the society back then did not honor children. They were blown off and pushed aside. There's one more mouth to feed, okay? Luke chapter 18, verse 15 says this, parents brought their little children to Jesus so he could bless them. And when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering them. Then Jesus allied for the children and said to the disciples, let the children come to me, don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. You know, we need to help and honor kids, period. And we need to especially look for kids that might be neglected or ready for this, or maybe just... life is just really hard, and people are trying to make ends meet right now. And they're working three jobs, especially, like, my greatest heroes, I actually, get tears in my eyes when I think about this, because I'm a parent now and I have an amazing husband, and he is just an incredible father and like a co-parent, and I just couldn't do what I do without just such support and help from my husband. But I get tears in my eyes when I think of single parents that are juggling multiple jobs and how hard that is. And I think it would be good as a society, as a culture, as a church, that we look for more opportunities to help them and honor kids. Honor kids that fall through the cracks. I have an incredible grace for teenagers. Oh my gosh, I just love, oh man, I do. My heart, I'm passionate for them. But there are people that fall through the cracks in society. You know, not everybody can do foster care, but I encourage you to pray about it. But could you provide respite and take a kid for a weekend so some parents can have some refreshing time, or maybe just, you know, especially if it's a little one, they can run errands, you know, and get some things done. How can we help honor kids more? Join the children's ministry team. This church honors kids. Pastor D's great passion is kids. Oh my gosh, like, I'll tell you, the children's ministers that like put their time aside and spend all week praying and ministering and coming up with creative ideas, let's honor those teachers that pour into our kids. How many teachers or anybody work in the childcare industry, and when a parent just, you know, the whole apple, you know, or maybe it's like a gift card. Apple's good too. Meatloaf sandwich is good too. You know, but find ways to honor people that honor children. Jesus did this. Maybe get creative and see out how you can reach out to the neighborhood kids. Like I said, helping single parents, it's huge. All right, next one. I want to say this. Jesus gave honor to women. And man, we could preach this for 2 hours because there's just so much in the Gospels on this one. Why? Because it was at a time in Jewish history where women were the most oppressed under religious law. Mom, I'm stealing some of your water. Sorry, thank you. I forgot to grab that. So if you can open up your Bibles to John chapter 4. Open up your Bibles there, because it's a long story, and I'm going to say it in my own words. John chapter 4. All right, so this is a time in Jewish history where women were the most oppressed and pushed down under the religious law of that day. They were treated as property. They were tossed aside. They had no voice or rights. There was a very famous rabbi or teacher, Rabbi Eliezer, back in the New Testament days. And I don't think he really had the heart of God. I think he actually lost the heart of God in the midst of the law. And his words were quoted as this. He says, "The words of the Torah," which is the Old Testament, or some of the books of the Old Testament that Moses wrote, "should be burned rather than taught to a woman." I mean, that was their most holy books. That is like a shocking statement to catch people's attention. That's how much he despised women and was teaching others to do the same. It was actually illegal to teach women the Torah. It was illegal back then to teach them the Word of God, which is the words of life. How many people, when you read the Bible, my heart comes alive, depression lifts, anxiety lifts, peace comes in like a flood, because I am hearing the words of God. And many people were illiterate, so they couldn't read it for themselves. So if they could just go to the synagogue and hear the words of life, to hold on to. But what if you weren't allowed to hear those words? Can you imagine? Or if you could only hear those words from a husband or a caretaker, and you're being told that you can't teach those words to women? How hopeless was that? But Jesus honored women that society was saying was dishonorable. And he went way out of their way. Jesus went way out of his way to honor women that had been dishonored or then acted dishonorably. Because remember, we often, things are stolen from us. Honor's stolen, and we're dishonored, and then our lives exude that because of sin and shame cycles, okay? So in John chapter 4, Jesus went way out of his way to go to Samaria, okay? Now, there was a lot of Jewish prejudice, which I don't have time to go into. They were very prejudiced against the Samaritans. They looked down upon them, and yeah, I'll just leave it at that. So anyway, people would go out of their way to avoid it. And Jesus went out of his way to go to Samaria. So he honored people that were had racial prejudice towards them and religious prejudice, okay, with his presence. So verse 4, the King James Version says this, "But Jesus needed to go through Samaria." It wasn't that he wanted to go. There is a mission for him in Samaria. That mission was one woman. One woman of a scandalous background, the girl that everyone in town liked to talk about, because how many people like to just talk about someone? Because if I talk about them, no one's talking about me. But actually, it's bad seed. You gossip about people, you're inviting gossip back in. All right. Now, her honor was stolen. I'm going to say this, because women back then were property, used and tossed around like a rag. They had very little legal protection. So, did you know they couldn't even testify in court? Because they were seen as liars. Women were seen as liars. They couldn't testify in court. So, if your husband wanted to divorce you, they just tossed you out in the street. It was very easy to get a divorce. So this woman that Jesus got a word of knowledge for and just was like, hey, you know, you've been married 5 times and the man you're with is not your husband. He's not putting her down. He's acknowledging that you've been treated like trash. They got tired of you. Maybe you were aging. Maybe they just found someone better, someone younger. And they could just toss you out. And now the guy you're with won't even marry you. It was compassion. She was just trying to survive. Sex trafficking ran rampant back then. It's all this business, I think, forever. So if you were fortunate enough for a man to take you in and even marry you, that kept you off the street. And she went to the well during the heat of the day, during the afternoon. How many people know this? Now we have plants and I'm watering plants. You know, you got to do it in the morning when it's not hot. So she's carrying this big old jug on her head, this big old clay pot in the heat of the day. Why? Because no one else is at the well. And if no one else is at the well, I don't have to overhear their gossip. Because she's the woman that's been around. And everybody likes to talk about that girl. So she went way out of her way, sweating, and just life was hard in general. She already knew they were talking about her in town. If anything, it was probably a breath of fresh air to go one place where the gossip wasn't. And Jesus talked to her. You wouldn't want to talk to a woman like that and that, have that association. Why? Because you might be looking like, you know, you're trying to get with her or something like that. And I want you to go back and read it for the sake of time. But this is in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 30. But Jesus honored her and revealed his identity as the Son of God, which was a big deal at that time, right? Because he only had a little time to kind of do this, and they knew they were going to kill him. And what did she do? She went around, and God preached all over the city. Hey, come see and hear this man that knew everything about me. The miracle of word of knowledge. Come see him. And all the men and all the people came in, and they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So she was one of the greatest evangelists. The greatest evangelist. That's a Bible gift, right? She was honored with this gift that rose up in her of boldness and courage and joy to shout from the rooftops, come here, I think I found the Messiah. Get your life transformed and people get healed. She became a minister, a preacher of the good news. And Jesus goes, you know all that stuff people hold against you? We're just going to throw it out. Because you're the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I give you honor to preach in my name. And anyone that wants to talk about the people you've been with and your old reputation, they're just going to miss out on the ministry that is going to flow through your words. He gave her honor so she could stand up in it, and her life is transformed. He also gave her the message about worshiping God in spirit and truth, which people preach on that for hours. He honored her with revelation of his identity, revelation of a deep biblical truth, and she became the greatest preacher in the city. And that's how we know her. Jesus honored those that didn't have any because they could rise up and be transformed into his image. Luke chapter 7, verse 37. This is the woman with the alabaster jar of perfume. Quoted in Luke chapter 7, verse 37, the Amplified Classic says this about her. Says, she was known around town. You could just fill in the blank at that point, right? I graduated from Spring Grove. It's a small little community. How many people live in the small little community where, you know, it's known around town, okay? It was known around town that she was, quote, an especially wicked sinner. Ouch, geez, gosh. Like, how would you like to wear that name tag? Hey, I'm going to the event at work, the work party, and I'm known as the especially wicked and sinful woman, okay? And he's having dinner at a Pharisee's house, a religious leader's house, And she does something that's like super awkward. I want you to just imagine yourself. My mom does not like her feet touched. Like, also, I have very ticklish feet. So if I've ever gotten like my toes done, like it's like I just try not to like my toes curl a little bit. But hey, it's good. I like that, you know, getting my toes done. My mom, don't give her a gift card to get her toes done. Like, she just, don't touch her feet. She doesn't like it, okay? So imagine now, this is happening. This woman of reputation, which they say she had this very wealthy jar of perfume, probably a woman of the night, you know, probably someone that gets paid, you know, to smell really good, you know, so forth. An especially wicked sinner, she was very successful at what she did. And she gets on the floor at Jesus' feet. This is awkward. This is weird. I'm at a dinner party, okay? And breaks open the jar of perfume and anoints his feet and washes his feet with her tears and her hair while everyone's whispering. It says this in verse 39. It says, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would surely know who and what sort of woman is touching him. For she is a notorious sinner, a social outcast, says in the Amplified. A notorious sinner, a social outcast, devoted to sin. If you're really such a man or woman of God, why would you hang out with them? You call yourself a leader in the church. Why are you hanging out with those people? But I'm rubbing off on them. I get around them and they get overflowed with peace and love and joy and their lives are transforming. I'm not doing what they're doing. I'm inviting them up. I'm inviting them over so they have something to stand on. So Jesus defended her and honored her above others. Look what he said about her. They were saying one thing about her. Look what Jesus, he saw her in the eyes of faith and transformation. Luke 7, 44 through 50 says this, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. They're walking through the streets, and back then they threw anything and everything in the streets. You follow me? She's washing it with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. Now, this is awkward. This is weird. Ha, ha, but I honor. You ever seen somebody worshiping in a messy way? Like, just tears and snot and jumping up and down and I don't know. It's messy. Just close your eyes. Just focus on what the Lord's doing, okay? Focus on what the Lord's doing, okay? You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. And I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. Washed clean, wiped out, delete button. And I backed up and deleted the backup files. Completely gone. Her sins have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. And then he goes on to tell a parable, okay? It says, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. So he's saying, she's honored me the most out of anyone in the room, out of all the churchies. This woman honored me the most. This woman worshiped me with the greatest sincerity. This woman anointed him for burial. This woman had a revelation of who Jesus was. And sometimes, let's say, get over yourself if you think, oh, I don't want to raise my hand. I don't want to cry. You know, I don't want to sing off key. When was worship about you anyway? And you know what? If you're a little messy and a little loud and off key, we'll just turn the music up and there's earplugs in the back if you think it's too loud. That's okay. We do that. So listen. So no one says, oh my gosh, they're so off key. We're covering them with love. That's why it's loud. Okay? Your messy worship creates space for other people to get messy. Be yourself. And if you are thinking, oh, I don't want people looking at me. No one's looking at you. It's worship. It's Jesus. You be you. Jesus will defend you. He says, because you know what? Those who have been forgiven much love much. He defended her and honored her, saying, you love me more. She loved me more than anyone in this room. She honored me more than anyone in this room. Who cares if it's different? Who cares if it's awkward? And then he said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Delete, delete. And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I honor you. Now rise up and be who you're called to be. I think her whole lifestyle changed. Mark 5, 25 through 34. The woman with the issue of blood, okay? What is this saying? Back under Jewish law, it was forbidden when a woman was on her cycle for them to be out among society. And if they would walk around the town, like let's say, hey, I ran out of milk. I got to go to the, I don't know, but if you ran out of coffee, I'm going. I'm going to the store to get some coffee and milk. Don't judge me. That's my only vice. Okay. I've almost reached perfection. I'm kidding. But I do have a 7-month-old. All right. So she's like, okay, I got to leave the house. You know, I got to get groceries. So they would walk through the streets and they would have to shout out, unclean. I'm unclean. I'm dishonorable. I'm dirty. What? I mean, seriously, can you imagine like walking through like the grocery store just as you got to get milk and coffee and you have to announce to everybody, it's that time. It's awkward. It's super awkward, right? Okay, this is an awkward situation, okay? But I'll tell you, she is desperate. Her faith has so risen up. She goes, if I can just touch Jesus, if I can just push through the crowd on my hands and knees, I don't care how dirty I get, I don't know how ridiculous I get, I am going to go meet the maker of heaven and earth. And if I can just touch, this is where her faith was, if I can just touch the corner of the bottom of his hem, I'll be clean. I'll be healed. If I can just do it, if I can just do it. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Okay. Go back, read the story, Mark chapter 5. She's rejected by society. She has an issue where she's that all the time. And I can't remember, I have to go back and look. She's been like this for 20 years. So she's a shut-in. She's under house arrest by society. She didn't do anything wrong. She has a condition. She has an illness. And she is under house arrest, and she can't get out. And if you do, you have to announce to everyone because you shouldn't be out. And she risked her life and pushed through a crowd just to touch Jesus. And Jesus honored her faith. And he protected her publicly and healed her. And Mark 5 says this, Jesus called her daughter. You're a daughter of God. You're not a sick person. You're not disabled. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm recreating you in my image. I'm healing you. It says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. It's one of my favorite stories. All right, we're going to come to a close kind of on this one. There's the woman caught in adultery. This is John chapter 8, 1 through 11. Go back and read these stories. I'm telling you, I'm reading through Luke. It's just beautiful. So this woman, and we never talk about the man, but this woman is having an adulterous affair with a man. They catch her. They caught him too, obviously, but he's nowhere to be found. And they throw her out in the middle of the town square, in the middle of the mall, where everybody's doing their business. And they throw her out there, and she's in the middle of this thing, so she's probably not covered appropriately. Hopefully she has like a sheet or something. But can you imagine the shame of how she feels, and she knows they can kill her. And Jesus protected her and defended her and honored her, because when they went to go throw stones, because what do religious people like to do? You're not good enough. You're a mess. I can't believe you're doing that. You want to do what in church? You want to go up for talent night? And he got ahead of her, and he said, you who were without sin, you throw the first stone. Get that log out of your eye. Stop talking about their past, even if it was 10 minutes ago or if it was this weekend. And they all dropped their stones because they all had, what, whitewashed walls. They just are really good at hiding it. And walked away. I love this story. Because this is how we're supposed to treat other people. We're supposed to lift up people that have been put down by society. We're supposed to get ahead of it and protect them, defend them, and honor them. And what do you say? Woman, your sins are forgiven you. Rise up. Don't sin anymore. Hey, delete, 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 delete. Your past has been deleted. I'm not even going to talk about it anymore. I'm not going to let anyone else talk about it anymore. Stop bringing it up. You're the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You're my daughter. Now don't go back to the old ways. Repentance means I'm not going back. Now rise up. Be my disciple. Jesus honored those that didn't have any so they had something to stand on, and then their lives transform and their community and their family transforms. Jesus honored people that didn't have any, didn't deserve it, or it was taken away, it was stolen. So I want to say this. How many people in this room can relate with some of these stories and remember when God's honor reached us? I know what it's like to walk into a room knowing everybody knows your business and how vulnerable, naked, shameful it feels. Knowing people talking about you, mistakes or things that were stolen from you. You can't, it is what it is. How many of you know that Jesus went to the cross, died for our sin, took the sin, took the shame, and deleted the whole past? He was crowned with honor, and then he crowns you with honor. So you can give it away to other people. And many people have forgotten where they came from. Do you know how I know? Because they're talking about everybody else. Everybody's got junk. Let he who has no sin cast the first stone. Just drop it. Deal with your own log. Deal with your own junk. Remember, we didn't deserve any of this. We don't have to be anything but God's sons and daughters. He was crowned with honor. He crowns you with honor. And what do? Like the elders in the throne room that Whitney was talking about, we cast our crowns at his feet. He honors us. We honor him. He honors us. We honor him. He honors us. We honor him. And if you're really doing it, it will overflow to you honoring other people that have none. So here's my question. Have we forgotten how to honor him? Or is it just a show? Because if you're living a life that honors God, you will honor people that have none. And you will give them something to stand on. We will stop talking about everyone's shortcomings and their past. Why? Because none of us would be where we are today had he not, what? Died on the cross for our sins, crowned us with honor so we can crown others with honor. If you can stand up, we're going to pray. I want to say this. I think some of us just need to take some time right now and reconnect with God's heart towards you. Romans 3:22 says this, the righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ. I am right with God. I am honored by God. I am right with him because my faith is in Jesus alone. It says, the righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. New Living Translation says this, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. I am right with God because my faith is in him alone. It's not because my actions are perfect. Get a revelation of your righteousness. Give you a revelation of how much God loves you and he honors you. And step into that honor and your life transforms. You're right with God because your faith in him, not because your life is perfect. Not because you didn't mess up 10 minutes ago on the drive here, you screamed at your spouse, whatever it may be. I'm right with God because my faith is in you. Now just receive God's honor right now. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. You've seen it story after story after story of those that he honored and loved, and they got a hold of that. I am right with Jesus because my faith is in him, and I receive that honor, and now I'm going to honor others around me. And that means you need to be quick to forgive yourself and stop looking back. You might need to change your circles and stop hanging out with people that rub your nose in your past. Save him a seat at church. But you don't need to hear that stuff all the time. Reconnect with your heart. Forgive yourself. He's already forgiven you. And if there's someone that you're holding their past against them because they hurt you, man, just it's time to let it go. Ask God how to honor them. Give them something to stand on. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you are opening our eyes to this revelation, and you are showing us people in our life, in our workplace, in our neighborhood, in our families. You are showing us people to show honor, whether they deserve it or not. You're showing us how to creatively do that so they have something to stand on. And Lord, I thank you, you've given us our story to inspire other people that if God can use me, he can use anybody. Don't be afraid to share your story. When God says share it, share it. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. You set us free. You deleted our past. You washed us pure as the driven snow. I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I am a new creation in him. And Lord, I thank you. I'm changing my ways. Jesus, transform me in your image. It says in Romans 12, 1 through 2, don't be conformed to this world. Lay yourself out on the altar of God. Make yourself a living sacrifice. God, I put myself on the operating table. Jesus, you're the great physician. You are just cutting out the junk in me. And you're stitching me up. No scars. Totally transformed in your image. Healthy, 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 whole. I thank you, Lord. You give me something to stand on so I can reflect you into the world around me. And don't let it stop with you. It is meant to overflow to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.